It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch, guys. It's good to have you here. As always, I love the support, the love, the appreciation, the fact that you share the show, the fact that you guys have supported me all these years, going on 8 years. So anyway, today's quote of the day comes from Jonathan Swift. A wise person should have money in their head, but not in their heart. A wise person should have money in their head, but not in their heart. And that to me makes so much sense because, you know, first of all, look, it is perfectly okay to go and make a bunch of money. In fact, I believe that even God himself would want you to be wealthy. He did not put you on this planet to be miserable, to be broke, and to suffer all sorts of, issues when it comes to money. It wouldn't make sense. So making money is good. Having lots of money is good. Now, doing things just solely to make money, maybe not so good. And so what I mean by that is, as entrepreneurs, we may say something like, man, you know, this is a great idea. I love this idea. I'm going to follow up with this idea. I'm going to make this idea my career. This is my mission. I am going to, you know, whatever, revolutionize the way they serve ice cream or whatever the product or service is, right? And because you have that love for that product or service, yes, it's okay to say, hey, I want to build a career out of this. And, you know, maybe if you do what you love and you do it with so much passion and you do it so well that you create an abundance from that mission that you created, right? Now, I look at people like Steve Jobs. You know, Steve Jobs just loved this idea of technology, and you can tell that he just had a certain knack for it. And he created Apple. And I never had a chance to interview him, but I have interviewed people that have worked for him for years. And he was never obsessed with money, but he was obsessed with changing the way people interact with technology. And yes, from there he became a billionaire or whatever it was. But anyway, so bottom line is a wise person should have money in their head, but not in their heart. Hey, speaking of money, I am excited. Our guest today is Jordan Goodman. Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. America's Money Answer Man is a nationally recognized expert on personal finance. He appears frequently on The View, Fox News Network, Fox Business Network, CNN, CNBC, and CBS Evening News. And today, here on Money for Lunch, Jordan E. Goodman, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Great to be with you, Bert. Really appreciate having you on the show.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited because one of the things that I appreciate about the body of work that you've done is that you understand it, you know, money not only from a personal finance but also from a business point of finance. You have, right, I think, a very, very holistic way of looking at money from all angles, and not just finance or financial people where they look at it just from one way, where you know it's the personal finance way. You come at it from all angles.
I do, and I've seen many, many years of people not having the correct resources to take advantage of all the financial opportunities out there, both, as you say, on the personal side and the business side. So what I want to do in spending our time together here, Bert, is offer people specific strategies and resources that can make a dramatic difference in their lives, help them pay their mortgages off faster, earn decent yields on their money, get business loans, just all kinds of things. I try to make it as practical and useful as possible.
I love it. I love it. All right. So with that aim in mind, let's start with this. I want you to explain the idea of using leverage to improve your business. Talk about this.
So leverage, not meaning debt, meaning you have relationships with other people. You have certain skills, and other people have certain skills. And the two of you combined can create a lot more than each of you can individually. So that's the key to small business success, is leveraging your expertise, your knowledge, your contacts, your financing sources with those of other people. And just amazing, the sky's the limit. You could do all kinds of things if you leverage it. So, I mean, I'll just give you my own example. So I'm on TV and radio, as you said, all the time. So my leverage is being able to expose good ideas to people all over the country. So I partner with other people that have good resources to get the idea out, and then they do their resource work, I get the word out, and the customer finds out about things they would never know about otherwise, and it's a win-win-win. So that's the key thing, is you've got to figure out what your points of leverage are and then what allies you can bring with you to help them and help you and help the customer. That's to me, the key to business success.
You know, and I love this idea, Jordan, of leveraging your financial as well as your business relationships. To me, this is so critical, because the reality is very few people do that. They're afraid to network. Or they get stuck in their own little world, and they don't want to reach out of that bubble, and their circle of influence shrinks and shrinks and shrinks, or it stays stagnant,
right.
And therefore – their business doesn't grow as well as it could. Because what you're saying is this: it's not just who you know, but who knows you, or who could you get
Correct.
To know
and,
that
and,
knows
and,
you.
And
so,
who are the people, exactly, the people that you know, who they know, right? So it can be, and I'll just give you an example that happened this week, Bert. This happens to me all the time. I know a guy, and he told me about this big oil find in Utah and Nevada, okay? And there's a geologist who I'd never heard of before who's got this huge oil find. He needs financing. So I knew another guy who does financing for oil companies. So I'm putting the two of them together. I'll get a little piece. I like to say I get a small piece of a large elephant, and that's a good thing, okay? So the two of them didn't know each other. By putting the two of them together, this thing is going to get developed. The geologist gets his dream of, you know, all this oil being found. The investment banker helps his people who want to invest in these things, and I get a little piece of the action. So that just happened this week, and you just by having a network, you put these people together, and all kinds of amazing things happen.
Sure, sure. And you know, this is one of those situations where there are literally groups of millionaires that have built their fortune by connecting people and getting that small piece of the transaction.
Correct. And you could be a connector, and that's what I am. And I've done this for many, many years. And I know both sides of the transaction, but they don't know each other. And by putting the two of them together, magic happens. I'm like a little
Absolutely.
Bit of a connector magician, I guess you might say. And you probably do the same thing. And a lot of people have the same possibility, but don't realize that, or as you said, they may be shy or they may not take full advantage of it. So leverage is the key to business success. And if you don't have leverage, if it's just you, you may be a wonderful entrepreneur, but you're limiting how much you can possibly grow. One person can only do so much. There's only 24 hours in the day, and supposedly you sleep a little bit. So you can only do so much. But if you have other people doing things on your behalf, you know, it's just amazing, the multiplying factor, I guess you might say.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, let's talk about this. Getting advantageous financing for your business. I know that you talk about using alternative funding and clearinghouses. Talk about this.
So it's very difficult to deal with banks today to get lending for your business. Banks tend to want inventory. They want stuff. They want things they can seize. They want widgets. They want warehouses of stuff that they can seize if something goes wrong. Well, that's not the way most businesses are today, Bert. I mean, they're doing apps. They're doing a website somewhere. There's no inventory. There's nothing to seize. So it's very difficult for these businesses to get loans, particularly in the startup or in the early phases. So because of that, a whole new class of kind of warehouse, what I call kind of warehouses or clearinghouses, have come up to allow individual investors to connect with entrepreneurs to fund their businesses. My favorite one is called CorporateLendingSolutions.com, and they know all the sources of funding. There's hedge funds, individuals, investment houses of various types, and what they do is they vet the entrepreneurs to see that their business is legitimate, and that instead of doing it based on assets and inventory, they do it based on cash flow. So they're going to take a look at your bank statements for the last 6 months or so, and if you've got decent cash flow, you'll be able to get a loan that you probably wouldn't be able to get from a traditional bank. And there's just many different kinds of financing. There's accounts receivable financing, there's payroll, there's equipment leasing. There's just many different ways of how you may need it at good interest rates. So there's what I think is the best out there, CorporateLendingSolutions.com. They've also got a phone number, Bert, which is 800-261-6478, to find out financing for your small business in a way you might not think is possible.
I like that. So it's CorporateLendingSolutions.com. You know, and one of the things, and we hear this all the time, we read about it in Entrepreneur or Forbes magazine or wherever, and you hear about these people that put some kind of very creative, weird financing deal together because they couldn't get traditional financing. And I think also people aren't taking advantage, because you mentioned startups. You know, let me tell you, if I was going to start a company from scratch today, first thing I'd do is go to a crowdfunding kind of situation.
Right.
Look at all the
right.
millions and millions of dollars that are raised there every month because somebody has a good idea, a good story, and they literally raise hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions.
The two biggest ones are Kickstarter and Indiegogo, but there are some other ones
yes.
out there as well. And this is a wonderful thing. This is allowing people to do their businesses that otherwise would not be able to get funding from traditional banks, and allows people to invest in ideas that otherwise they would not be able to find out about or invest in various ways. I'll tell you one that I'm specifically involved with, which is in the real estate field. These are what are called crowdfunding funds, or the SEC calls them Regulation A-plus funds, which is called the Secured Real Estate Fund. The website for that, securedrealestatefunds.com. This allows the average individual to invest a minimum of $5,000 and get an 8% yield on their money with no market fluctuation. The value of your assets doesn't go up, doesn't go down. The net asset value stays at $10. And that is allowing them to lend money, commercial, small-scale commercial real estate projects all over the country that otherwise they would not be able to get the funding for. So they'll renovate student housing or medical buildings or shopping centers or parking lots or all kinds of different commercial projects. Then
right.
again, the banks, they want big projects. They want like $50 million, $100 million projects. This might be like $500,000 or a million, you know, relatively small projects that otherwise wouldn't get funded. So this is a classic case where the average individual gets an 8% yield, the entrepreneur gets his project funded, and it's win-win all the way around. And again, people can find out about that, securedrealestatefunds.com. Because I find, Bert, a lot of people have money sitting in the checking account, savings account, money market fund, CD, earning pretty much zero these days. It's just outrageous. The banks don't feel any reason to raise what they're paying on deposits, even though they find lots of reasons to raise what they're charging on loans. That they're happy with
yes.
doing. So there's a lot of discriminated against savers out there sitting there earning nothing. So I've just given you a place the average person with minimal risk can get an 8% yield.
Yeah, no, and I love this because let me tell you, and again, I don't know anything about this securedrealestatefunds.com, but it sounds like, again, you're going to get 8%, and it's is it secured against the real estate, or is it just,
yeah,
hey, we're guaranteed?
No, they're doing first position loans on each of these projects. And you're getting the mortgage interest off the mortgage. It's typically like a one-year loan, and then they pay it off once the project is done. And actually, when the buildings that they're lending to are sold, the fund participates in the profits as well.
Nice.
So there's a profit-sharing component on top of the 8%. Last year, in 2017, the actual return of the fund was 8.7. 8% from interest, 0.7 from profit sharing. So you actually get a little bonus on top of that. I'll just, if it helps, I'll just give you a recent example of a project they did, Bert. There's a guy in Boulder, Colorado, who had a big house. He'd been renting to two students forever. He got a loan from the fund because he couldn't get a loan from a local bank, renovated the house, and a year later, he had the house with four apartments instead of two, put in four bathrooms, four kitchens, four doors. So now the income from that same house was doubled over it was a year ago, and the value of the house was up, whatever, 50%, dramatically higher because the cash flow from the same property was much higher. You see?
Right.
So he's willing to pay maybe a 10% interest for a year. 8% of that goes to the investor. 2% goes to management. And that way, his value of his property is dramatically higher. And it's a short-term project. That's what they do is what they call forced appreciation. They're doing something that's making the value of existing real estate go up because of the way they're changing the real estate.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And what something that you said, which I never thought about, which is so interesting to me, and that is the banks really are not giving savers any reason to invest in banks or save at banks.
Correct.
Because, you know, I got something in the mail the other day from my credit union, and they offered me 3%, which I thought was, you know, like outrageous, you know, from a credit union, 3%. It's like, you know, this is fantastic. I haven't seen 3% in a long time. And the only reason that 3% got me excited, because, you know, everybody else is paying less than a percent, but also is because this is my personal feeling, is that right now there aren't too many bargains out there in the stock market. There aren't too many bargains out there in the real estate market. And I don't do either of them full time, but for the little time that I invest, I'm not seeing a lot of places to really invest my money where I'm going to get a good return. And I do feel as though both the stock market and the real estate market could have some kind of correction or downturn any day.
I agree.
Now.
The stock market's been going up for 9 years in a row without a major correction. And
a lot
of the real estate market, in hot markets, if you're in San Francisco, Seattle, Phoenix, Miami, I mean, they're overheated. Too much demand and not enough supply. So we've been through this game before, Bert.
Yes.
It did not end well.
It did not end well. But you know what? You know, the thing that I'm hoping for is someplace where I can park my money. And you know what? 3% secured by the FDIC to me is fantastic. 8% is even better. It won't be as liquid, but you know what? I could see myself parking some money at securedrealestatefunds.com. I'm going to check them out. And I could also see myself parking money at the 3% place because, hey,
sure,
it's a win-win. And then hopefully the market corrects and I can take that money out and gobble up some bargains.
Yeah, just so you're clear, the Secured Real Estate Funds, it's a minimum hold of 1 year. And after that, you can get your money whenever you like. So
that's
just
not bad
1 year,
all.
It's not bad at all. It's not a money market fund. It's not, you can't write checks on it because the loans that they're making are not liquid. But after 1 year, you can get your money. You put it in, and then again, minimum's $5,000. You put in whatever $10,000 to start, and then you put in the subsequent $10,000 3 months later. The 1 year only applies to the initial investment. It's not each time you add an additional amount. You see, so 1 year hold is not bad to get 8% in this environment.
No, it to me is what I like to refer to as a smoking deal. That's not bad at all. Again,
right.
if you shop around, you'll see that a nice secured CD from a bank, if you just put your money in there for a year, I think you get a quarter of a percent. If you go 5 years, you get a whole percent. It's ridiculous what you find out there.
That is crazy.
There, so.
Yeah, to lock your money up for 5 years to get 1% is crazy to me. Because you see what's happening. There is inflation, and as the value of your money is going, you see what's happening to healthcare costs, to tuition. Gasoline is going up a lot. Property taxes are going up. A lot of things are going up way more than the official 2% rate. So to have your money sitting there earning 0 or 1%, you are falling behind in your purchasing power.
Yes. And as you pointed out, everything else is going up. I mean, the banks keep charging more for their loans, and it's just so ridiculous that they have the, I guess the, you know, the
well, they,
not call
they don't
the
feel
whole,
need to raise
taking,
rates.
Yeah,
they're taking advantage
of
people.
Of their market. Yeah,
Exactly. Their banks' profit margins are widening because as the Fed keeps raising rates, they've raised rates once, they'll probably raise it at least twice this year. The prime rate goes up. So the banks, just by sitting there, earn more just by having their prime rate go up. But they have control over what they pay in deposits, and they say, I've got plenty of money. I don't need to be aggressive. People will just have their money sit there, so why pay them more if they're just sit there earning nothing pretty much? So the banks are taking advantage of people. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let's talk about this because, again, as entrepreneurs, as startups, we might be sitting on a pile of debt. So what's your take? What do you do if you are sitting on a pile of business debt?
All right. So a lot of businesses are in this circumstance, and what they tend to do is they respond. They pay the people that scream the loudest, the creditors that scream the loudest. That is not what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do is to pay the creditors that have the most leverage over your business first. So this is the whole art of what's called debt prioritization, where you prioritize the people. An electric utility could turn your lights off tomorrow. That's a lot of leverage, okay? Some lawyer that did some contract 3 years ago that you never went through with has no leverage on you, okay? But if the lawyer screams louder at you, you might pay him before the electric company. So there are actually people that will help you prioritize your business debts and help you get out of those debts. There's a website for that called helpwithpayables.com, helpwithpayables.com. It's a place called Corporate Turnaround, and they've helped tens of thousands of small businesses actually get out of debt. So you just turn it over to them. They negotiate with all of your creditors. They have a way of seeing what the leverage is in a very precise way, and then they give one deal to the creditor with more leverage, another deal to one with less leverage. You make one payment to them. They pay the creditors, and 75 to 80% of the small businesses they deal with actually get out of debt and continue in business, because otherwise they'll just crush you. These creditors will come after you, and you have the small business owner hiding under his desk, not wanting to answer his phone or open his mail because the creditors are chasing him all the time. So, again, that might help some of your folks. Helpwithpayables.com. They've got a phone number, too, 800-411-1113. A lot of people are just handling business debts the wrong way. You've got to prioritize them, and here's a place that will help you do it in the right way.
Sure, sure. And I want to emphasize this. You mentioned negotiate, and some people are so funny, you know, that they are maybe pretty good negotiators. You know, they don't have a problem going to, for instance, the flea market and negotiating a deal there, or they didn't have a problem negotiating the debt that they got into, but now they feel funny about renegotiating the debt that they can't pay. They feel as though
Right. They're
going back on their word or something like that. And let me tell you guys, ladies and gentlemen, if you feel bad about renegotiating the debt, then by all means, you got to have somebody help you and check out these guys at helpwithpayables.com. I don't know anything about them, but check them out. But I can tell you there isn't a successful CEO out there that has not renegotiated terms. You're not trying to cheat anybody. It's that the circumstances have changed. So before, maybe you could easily afford $1,000 a month for that widget, but now you can only afford $700 a month. And let me tell you, the creditor rather have $700 a month than zero. And so renegotiating that debt is part of business, you know. And
they take it off your plate.
Yes.
You're exactly right. The small business guy is into running his business, not negotiating with his creditors. So he'll give them, okay, here are my 10 creditors. They look at what their priority is. This guy will give him 50 cents of the dollar if he waits 6 months. This guy will give him 10 cents of the dollar if he waits a year because he has much less leverage. This guy, who's got a lot of leverage on you, will give him 70 cents of the dollar in a month. You know, and so each one's going to get a different deal. But this is not something the average business owner is good at doing. And they're objective. They say, we're trying to help you. You'd rather get 50 cents on the dollar than nothing. And that's what they do all day. And then you end up making one payment to the Help with Payables people. And then they pay everybody else. And you can get back to running your business instead of running from creditors.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it. I love it. I'm going to, what do you call it? I'm going to find out more about them and maybe get them on the show. I think that's
great,
a fantastic service. All right, so Let me ask you about this, because again, entrepreneurs, startup, one of the first things that we all do is we commingle, for lack of better terms, our own personal credit as we try to build our business credit, right? Because, you know, in some cases, that's all you have is personal credit. But now,
yeah,
let's
bad
say
idea.
That, you know, you're, yeah, well, it's a bad idea. But again, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So let's say it's 2, 3, 5 years down the road. How do you keep your personal and business credit rating separate? How, you know, talk about this.
So on the business side, you're familiar with the personal side, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. But on the business side, it's a Dun & Bradstreet report where you want to have a separate taxpayer ID number. They see how you pay your vendors, how you pay your creditors, your banks, and so on. And you're building up a score. Now, it's what's called the Paydex score. The top one is 80, meaning you pay all your bills on time. And that's very useful when you go to new vendors and you want to borrow or you want to create a vendor relationship. So that is separate from your personal credit score. And a lot of people are not really very aware of it or how to build it or how to get errors off their business credit report as well. There's a place that will help you do that, which is called tourdebusiness.com, TOURDEbusiness.com. They've also got a phone number, 888-533-8138. And that's all they do is they help businesses either establish or correct errors on their Dun & Bradstreet and business credit reports. And if you do it right, your Paydex score is going to go up. You'll get more credit at better terms, and it really helps your business thrive. So a lot of small businesses are not really aware of that at all. And it's not the kind of thing you can do instantly, Bert. Okay, I would say, you know, you build up good credit slowly over a long period of time with many transactions, and you ruin it with one bad transaction in one microsecond. It goes down. It goes up slowly and goes down quickly.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's so funny you should bring that up because I think that's the that's the way it works with everything in life. In other words, you know, not only on that on your credit example there, but you know, you can whatever you keep your word. You know, 99% of the time, that one time that you fail, people start to question you, and
exactly.
You got to build that trust back up again. So it's just the way it is.
And with credit, I mean, both on the personal side and the business side, you can do everything right for many, many years, pay your bills on time, be responsible, and then you pay a bill late or you didn't see it or something like that, and your score can plummet 50 or 100 points very quickly. So you just got to stay on top of it. So that's both the personal side and the business side. But I'm just saying on the business side, a lot of people, as you say, start running it out of their own personal business and out of their checkbook, and then it's very hard to kind of separate what's business and what's personal. If you can, if it's a real serious business and not a hobby, the best
right.
thing would be to set it up from the beginning with the right credit organization, maybe a subchapter S, could be an LLC. There's a lot of tax benefits to doing it that way, and then establish business credit in the name of that entity instead of your personal. Now, you may have to sign a personal guarantee, but still, you're building up credit in the name of that company with that particular taxpayer ID.
Yeah. And again, that's something that sometimes you have to do. You start off with having a personal guarantee, and then down the road, you're able to get that off. And back to what you said, everybody keep this in mind. It just takes time. So, you know, 2, 3, 5 years from today, you finally have enough credit so where you no longer have to personally guarantee it. What do you call it? What's the old saying? Inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yard by yard,
exactly.
It's really hard. So, you know, if you take your time,
exactly.
You'll get it done right. I love that.
Right.
I love that.
So
All right.
This is what stops a lot of small businesses, but if they do it right, they can really thrive.
All right, so let's talk about this because we're almost out of time, but I think this is so vitally important because, again, I know and you probably know as well so many entrepreneurs that, you know, leverage their mortgage once or twice to get their business up and running. Now their business is up and running. Things are great. What are your strategies? What do you suggest for getting your mortgage paid off sooner versus later? I know that sometimes you say you can pay a mortgage off in as little as 5 or 7 years. So talk about that.
Correct. This is what's called mortgage equity optimization. And literally, if you do it right on the existing level of income, you can pay off a 30-year mortgage in about 5 to 7 years. It's an amazing thing. You'll never hear about that from a bank, Bert, because banks like the existing system real well, which is you pay them for 30 years. The interest all being up front, the first 10 to 15 years of a mortgage is pretty much all interest. Very, very little principal is being paid down. There's a website, by the way, people can find out more about this, which is called truthinequity.com. truthinequity.com. You can actually model it for yourself. You put in the numbers, apply to your situation, it'll tell you how much quicker you could pay off your mortgage. So I know we have a short amount of time left, but basically you use a home equity line of credit, a HELOC, which is a liquid line against your house. You use that almost like your checking account. You put money in, you take it out, you're making progress on the pull every day, and then you feed your first mortgage from the HELOC to make a lot of progress. And it's just amazing how quickly you can pay your mortgage off. Because
I'm going to need a little bit more clarification. So, okay, so I have this HELOC.
Correct.
And this, it's a home equity line of credit, HELOC, HELOC for short. And so let's say that I have, $25,000, HELOC.
Let me just give you an example, Bert. I'm just going to give you a quick
example
of how it worked. Okay.
Yeah.
So say you had a house worth $300,000 and you had a $200,000 first at 4%. Good rate. Okay. And then you'd go out and get a HELOC, which is the second mortgage on your house for, say, $50,000. I'm just making up a number here, all right? So you just opened it up. It's free and clear. You would write a check on that HELOC for $50,000 towards your first, right? So you've now paid your first down from $200,000 to $150,000, and you owe $50,000 on the HELOC. You then keep your income in that HELOC all the time. You keep your paycheck and dividends and whatever it is, constantly pushing that principal down on the HELOC. And after, say, 9 months, say a year, you pay that $50,000 off in the HELOC because you keep your principal in there moving down all the time. Then you do it again. You write another check, $50,000 on the HELOC, where you had owed $150,000. You're now down to $100,000 on the first. Pay it off. Do it twice more. Your first is now paid off. You pay off the HELOC, and in roughly 5 years, you are completely mortgage-free. I mean, that's the fast version of how it works. But you're combining
the
HELOC and your first to pay it off.
And the reason we're using the HELOC is because by paying these giant, again, using the $50,000 example, is that we're taking that $50,000 and we're just crushing the principal. We're just getting rid of $50,000 worth of principal debt
on the first.
On
right.
The first,
but then you're paying the 50.
Reducing,
You're paying the 50 off. You paid down the first by 50, but now you're keeping your income, like your paycheck and all that, in the HELOC. Every day you make progress on your balance. It's what's called average daily balance. So let's just do a super simple example. You have $1,000 in your paycheck. Normally you'd keep in the checking account earning nothing. You put the $1,000 in the HELOC, and instead of owing $50,000, you now owe $49,000. And you pay interest on $49,000. You see? Your principal's going in there pushing down the balance every day. And that's the way you're making progress. And after 9 months or so, there's three things you need to make this work, Bert. You have to have home equity. You got to have equity in your house to borrow against. You got to have a decent credit score of maybe 680 or higher to qualify for the HELOC. And you have to have positive cash flow during the month, more money coming in than going out. That positive cash flow, by running it through the HELOC, is what's pushing your principal down so fast and allowing you to pay your mortgage off. So I've literally saved 25 years off your listener's mortgage and tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in needless interest.
Yeah, I love that idea. I mean, this is a strategy, especially for those individuals who are currently, let's say super cash flow positive, can really leverage this to an amazing level where, you could get rid of a mortgage, 5-6 years.
Imagine a couple that's 30 that has their mortgage paid off at 35 instead of 60. Okay. What a difference is that going to make in their life? And then after their mortgage is paid off, they keep making their mortgage payment to themselves into investments and things where their money is going to grow for them. What a difference in their life that's going to make, right?
What a difference. Yeah, absolutely. Talk about retiring, in the fastest amount of time. Talk about retiring with enough money to last you the rest of your life, because all of us are now living to, you know, 90 plus years, Jordan. So you need extra,
right.
You need extra money. So I love this strategy. This one strategy alone is worth millions of dollars.
It is. And it's helped. I mean, I've helped over 50,000 people with that strategy. And again, it's a free website, truthandequity.com. You do what's called a personal profile. And you put in your income, your expenses, your mortgage, your house value, all the things. And says, what you're doing today, it's going to take you 28 and a half years to pay off your mortgage. With the numbers you just gave us, it's going to be 6.5 years or whatever it comes out to be. And then step by step, they show you how to do it. So this is, again, something banks will never tell you about. They don't want you to know about mortgage optimization because they like the current system of getting your interest for 30 years. And even better, refinance your mortgage and start a new 30-year clock all over again where they get even more interest.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jordan, we're out of time. So how can people find out about you if they want to get some more tips and strategies with their money?
So my website is moneyanswers.com, and I've actually set up a special page for your listeners, which is moneyanswersman.com, and then do /money for lunch. And I've got some offers there. I've got a newsletter. I've got all kinds of community things to join. So they can find the Money for Lunch website at moneyanswersman.com/moneyforlunch. So I love to serve your listeners.
Absolutely. I love that. So it's moneyanswersman.com/moneyforlunch. And you can go there. You can see the different offers that he's making there. One of the things that I like about your website, by the way, I checked it out today, and is that you do have a lot of resources there. You have a very active YouTube channel where people can, you know, while they're, I don't know, if you're standing in line, you can check out Jordan's YouTube channel. You get some tips right there. I mean, just today alone gives you some idea of some of the tips and strategies that he can give you. Jordan Goodman, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. Looking forward to have you back again.
All right. Thanks so much, Britt. That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
You bet. Good stuff there from Jordan Goodman, known as the Money Answers Man at moneyanswersman.com. And, of course, don't forget /moneyforlunch. Just to let you know, I get no remuneration, but I do find that Jordan has a lot of resources, and certainly hopefully those resources will help you out. And really, look, again, money is so important, and more importantly, it's how you manage it. And there are so many tips, I should say, so many strategies and shortcuts that we can become overwhelmed, and it's always good to find somebody that you can trust. So check out Jordan and his team. And as always, my friends, let's share the program with everybody we know. Let's help as many people as we can get their answers with their money. Let us help as many people as we can to get out of debt, to pay their mortgage off in the shortest amount of time. Could you imagine if you just helped one person pay their mortgage off in 5 to 7 years, you would be a hero to them forever. Remember, you were created to change.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.